Who It Is, your host, Riza Tante, here to inspire you, empower you, and influence your positive thinking. Welcome to the Inspired to Be Inspired podcast, where I meet people from across the world with stories that make you want to take your dreams into reality and to live your vision. Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in for episode number 8, where I get to chat with the creative CEO and founder of Kimchi Socks. From taking off from his military duties to amping up an online Bitcoin-friendly store, Jason has some amazing things to share. So let's get on with the show. Jason is the CEO and founder of Kimchi Socks. And I actually heard from him by another mutual friend that we had, and his story was just really interesting, and I was just really in awe of the kind of work that he did. So Jason, thanks for being on the podcast, and let's just hear a little bit about Kimchi Socks, how you got invested in that, how it got started, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so I want to say when I came to Korea.
What's that?
Let me start with like what made me come to Korea first.
Yeah. How did you get here?
So I guess disclaimer, I am like in the United States Air Force. That's my full time job. And also the DOD doesn't endorse this. So I get up at the So I'm actually originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. Before I joined the military, I was going to the University of New Orleans for electrical engineering with a focus on computers. And this was like after Katrina happened, and New Orleans was just crazy. And I was already planning on joining the military as an officer, but I decided to leave. I just decided to drop out of school and join the military early. So I joined the military, and I picked up an engineering apprentice military job. So I work with engineers. So with the college of engineering, and end up getting like an engineering assistant job in the Air Force. So that took me to my first duty station in Yokota, Japan. I lived in Japan for 3 years, and then after that, I went to Lajes Fields, which is in Azores, Portugal. I was there for 15 months, and after that, I came back to Asia and been in South Korea since 2013. And I was doing YouTube during that time, and then I decided to kind of stop doing YouTube when YouTube started getting funny with their monetization policies and all that. So I was like, you know what, screw all this work for a couple pennies per video you make. So I put that on pause, and I started looking about doing entrepreneurship. And I took a week off from work, and I rented a bunk bed in a guest house in like a community, like a dorm room. So it was like 6 other people in a shared room. And I did that because I wanted to figure out, okay, what kind of business can I create? And the inspiration for socks came to me to sell. And I combined my favorite food here in Korea, kimchi, with the product of socks. And then I came up with the name Kimchi Socks.
So wait, you took a week off of work just to solely figure out what kind of business to build? Is that right?
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. So then how long did it take you to get this Kimchi Socks idea? Like, did it start like day one, or you're like the 6th day?
So really it was more than a week, because the reason why is because I did it during the holiday season. So we normally get the Christmas, I signed up to get the Christmas week off. So I combined 7 days of my leave in conjunction with 4 days off, so I was really off for longer than a week. And yeah, I just like hung out, and I was in Hongdae, so I stayed in Hongdae this for that week. And I wake up early in the morning before everyone else is up, when everyone's drunk and hungover from the night before. I'll be in my pajama pants and my long pea coat. I'll walk to the kebab stand, because they're just probably like the only place open. I'll grab my kebab and have a black coffee mug in hand. And I'm just sitting there, standing around, looking, trying to get inspiration. And then on one of my days roaming around Hongdae, I saw this store owner who's a seller of socks. He was having this like 50% going out of business sale. And all I had left in my pocket was like I had like 15,000 won in cash in my pocket, so I bought 15,000 won worth of socks, and then I went back to the guest house and I poured the socks out on the community table, and I sat there drinking my coffee like, what can I do with this? So I took my phone, I made some like real shitty photos, and I set up a store envy account just to test out, and it was like some She Ramen socks I put on there, and someone actually purchased it, and I was like, all right, cool, you know. I told myself, if I can sell at least 2 pairs of these socks in a month, I will pursue this. And I was able to sell 2 pairs. I said, okay, I'm gonna do this. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I gave myself little milestones. First one was like, can I even sell socks? And I did, okay, I can sell the socks. Okay, can I generate $100 in a month in sales? And then the next one, yep, I was able to generate $100 a month in sales. And then so I kind of like gave myself little small milestones to test the waters, and slowly but surely started gradually growing to the point where now I dropped $4,000 on getting a whole bunch of socks made with not even a blink of an eye. Okay, I need how many? All right, 4,000. Okay, hey, place the order. Fuck it, here with 4,000. Make the socks and ship them to my people, please, just like that. But it took like a gradual. It took baby steps to get comfortable like that. Because some people, hey, it's going to cost $4,000. And they're like, wait, what? Like, yeah, $4,000. What's the problem? They're like, what? That's like, it's a lot of money. To me, I'm like, it is? Oh, I don't know.
You know, and it's funny that you say that, Jason, because, you know, as we're talking about before recording this, we were talking about entrepreneurs and how I was telling you, you know, I like to interview entrepreneurs, you know, around the world. And there's just been this consistent theme that I've noticed. And I would say like risk taking and thinking outside the box have been like number one, number two in these people that I've talked to.
So there's a misconception about risk taking. It's not really risk when you calculate what you're going to do and what is the potential loss if you don't make it. So it's more of a calculated risk. Does the pros outweigh the cons? And if the pros does outweigh the cons, what is the possible likelihood that this might fail? So it's more calculated. And there's no fault to you, because the most common phrase you hear is, oh, entrepreneurs are risk takers. Yes and no. They, you know, they're like, for example, I wouldn't drop $4,000 without a problem if I didn't think I was gonna be able to move that product within probably 3 to 4 months. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
that's true.
It's as you grow your business, as you build your business, you start looking at your numbers, you start understanding what your monthly numbers are. You start being able to predict the future or get good, you know, estimates of how you're gonna do. So risk is there, but it's not as likely to fail if you understand what you're doing.
That's true. Well, I mean, I guess it's more of like, for me personally, I wouldn't drop $4,000 or whatever to invest in socks in the industry, right? Because like, well, at least for me, I'd be like, oh, I'd rather use that with, you know, doing something else. And so the fact that you had, I think it becomes... belief, like you had a strong belief and you knew, you know, where you could take the business and you went for it. Whereas other people, they look at it and they see the possibilities, they could, you know, calculate it and whatever, but they have the belief that they can make it happen, I guess, too.
But yeah, most definitely. When you are, for one, the risk, and I say the risk, where the risk actually really do lie is the fact that you are in charge. Mm-hmm. You're the boss. There's nobody else you can blame other than yourself. There's no, some people have safety nets. If you put $10,000 into this business and that business fails, that's your $10,000. That's not your boss's $10,000. That's not the company you work for. That is your money. That could have probably been your life savings, or that could have been money that you got back from like school for a refund that you could have spent on probably, I don't know, fixing, getting a better car to get you from school,
yeah,
getting from home to school. So I can see where the risk is at, because you are the last thing standing to make sure this company does be a success.
Right, that's true. Jason, you also mentioned this whole idea about community and culture, and I really,
yeah,
I haven't heard that in a while. And so walk me through your ideas about that and how you were able to associate that with, you know, Kimchi Socks.
So one thing I noticed with the whole fashion shit sorry for cursing. But the whole fashion industry is people want to base their designs off of trends or try to be trendsetters. And if you look at when it comes to just look at the cost of production, like product-based companies are expensive. And if you are basing your product off of what's the hottest and greatest thing, that hottest and greatest thing might be done by the time your product leaves the manufacturing floor. So that's just one thing to think about. Now, you didn't put all this money into building a product based off of what the hottest trend is, and that trend may no longer be hot anymore. So when I went about creating Kimchi Socks, I looked at the other socks brands, the other brands out there, and I was like, okay, what makes them special? What makes them perfect? And some people do make socks for different communities and whatnot. And I was like, okay, that's what Kimchi Socks is gonna do. We're gonna design socks based off of culture and communities, and not off of the latest fashion trend. Because culture and community outlasts trends. You know, for example, look at the Saints. I'm from New Orleans. We will say who dat until we can lose all day and every day, but we will still say who dat. We will still buy Saints clothing. We will buy anything with the Saints logo on it because that is our community, that is our culture, that is what connects to us as a group. And same thing with anyone who purchases sports socks with their favorite team on it. They're not buying it because it's a fashion trend. They're buying it, well, depends, but most people buy it because that is, they feel they're part of the community, they feel they're part of the culture, and that's why they will spend $20 on a pair of NFL socks that represents their team because they feel part of that team. Even though they don't own zero equity in that team, but they feel they do because that team might be the team from their hometown or something like that, or that team might be the team that guy used to watch with his dad when he was a kid. So there's some connections there. So when we went about picking three different designs, we started out with the Bitcoin design, the Black Power design, and the Golden Olden design. The Black Power design, of course, is based off of trying to connect to the black community and empowerment. The Go Nola sock was designed to basically connect the New Orleans community and whatnot. And then the Bitcoin one was, of course, was made for the blockchain community. And out of those three designs, the one that shined the most was the Bitcoin one, because that community is a growing, emerging community. And right now, early on, the main thing was trying to establish that we are here. We're going nowhere. You're going to hear about blockchain everywhere, which you're starting to hear more of. And while we are in the office, we can still represent our favorite cryptocurrency by just lifting up our pants leg, and you've seen the Bitcoin on our socks. And so that's passively saying, hey, I believe in Bitcoin. Similar to like Fight Club type of deal. You know, like, hey, we got the socks from Kimchi Socks. Oh, okay, yeah, Bitcoin,
I
man.
got you.
So we wanted to be part of the community. We wanted the company to be part of the community because that creates or that makes. I feel like you're making that human connection by trying to be part of that community that person that you're trying to sell to is part of, and you know, and trying to just be genuine, and we're trying to connect with people.
Okay, so with community and culture and everything like that, like, how do you continue to think of different ideas within designing your socks? Oh, like.
So that's the beautiful thing about community and culture. Look at the symbols that they use to represent them. And then, so for example, Bitcoin, that's the symbol that a lot of people know, the Bitcoin symbol. So because of that, we just leverage that design. Now, do we just sell socks? Socks is the main thing. Like lately, right now, I've been working with my team, and I told them I want to focus on creating content that is informative, educational, and funny, that relates to that community. And the reason for that is because I don't want to always be trying to sell people stuff. I want to create value for people. Even if they don't buy nothing on the first contact, I want them to feel like they could come to Kenshi Socks not just to buy something that represents them, but also so they can get information, get point of views and whatnot. And if they want to support the cause, they can buy a sock that still represent what they believe in. So trying to make it like a full circle where everything that comes from us is a value to who we're trying to sell to, be in that community we're trying to be part of.
That's awesome. How, okay, Bitcoin. I don't know a lot about Bitcoin, and I clearly have to go some meetup to get educated on this because I know it is very huge in Seoul or South Korea in general. And I do see on your website that you have it connected to Bitcoin, like the currency, like people can purchase out of that, right? So did you have that idea already when you invented kimchi socks, or like were you always a big fan? How did that work?
I came up, I found out about Bitcoin in 2013. Kimchi socks didn't get officially formed until 2015. The idea of kimchi socks was in 2014, but I didn't actually put it into actual a legit incorporated company until 2015. Then when 2016 came around, I said we're gonna start accepting Bitcoin. Some people thought it was stupid. I said, oh, whatever. I knew that in the future it was gonna pick up, and I'd rather be the guy who's sitting out there waiting for the wave, and then when a wave comes, I'm already pre-positioned versus everyone like right now who's trying to catch up on the wave because they thought the guy who was already out there was the weirdo. And now they're like, shit, that guy knew what he was talking about. So yeah, early on, the Bitcoin stocks wasn't moving as much. I'm not gonna lie. And that was a long-term investment that I made because I had to believe in the fact that I believed that Bitcoin was gonna pick up. And we came out with the Bitcoin stock when I think Bitcoin was at 250 or $300. So that's how long I've been long-term investing on that sock design, now becoming a very popular sock design.
Wow. I love how your website is all formatted and laid out. Walk me through how you built your team, because you, I mean, you did mention earlier that, you know, you don't do it on your own. You have other people that you're doing the work for. How did you delegate that, or how did you find the right people?
So I'm also a big fan of bootstrapping if you can.
Yes.
So in actuality, the first I had a few people contact me, hey, I want to like work with Kinky Socks and this and that. And some people came, some people left because they just didn't cut it. And I want to say out of initial four, five people, out of initial five people when I originally, I'll say six. Four of them dropped off, or I fired two of them, and the other two just disappeared. No, I fired three, other two, one disappeared. The one other guy was a business partner who I sold like 5% of the company to for like $500. He wanted to contribute. I said, okay, cool. Here's like you can buy you 5%, and you can help generate sales in New Orleans. And I ended up killing the whole New Orleans initiative because it wasn't working out. And his reasoning for it, I was like, ah, I don't believe in that. So, but he still has his 5% right now, so I decided to buy it back. But out of that six, I had this one college student. She originally she was like, I will create photos for Kimchi Socks every month for $300 a month. I said, I don't got $300 a month. I said, okay, $100. I can do $100. Let's do this. So she, and since then, she's actually been around over a year now. And of
Wow.
course, over time, it went from 100, 150, then 300. And then just this year, last year, I flew her to New Orleans when I came to the States. And I flew her to New Orleans. She met the family, and we did like some family photos. She was also included in the photos.
Wait,
And
you flew her to
then,
New Orleans?
yeah, she was a college student. She lived in St. Louis. I said,
Wow.
okay, hey, fly down. Because this is how I believe. When you're starting out, the people who are with you when you're like starting out in particular, because it's gonna be hard, those are the people you stick with you. Those are the people you go out of your way to try to help them out because they helped you out. And she was one of those people. She's like, she's doing other stuff too, and she actually deserved more than what I was able to pay her. But whenever she did ask for if she needed some help or something like that, and I had it, I gave it to her. Like she wanted, like she's like she wanted. She asked me before I flew out to New Orleans if I can like give her like a pay advance because she wanted a new camera. I said, you know what? Better yet, I'm gonna pay you the money I owe you anyways, and I'm still gonna give you extra money for the camera.
Wow.
And I still flew, and I still pay for an airplane ticket and pay for lodging to come to New Orleans because she did a whole she contributed a whole lot to the growth of Kimchi Socks that she built that trust and relationship with me that if she needed something, I was, if not have it, I'm gonna give it to her. And that's also part of how I believe in building companies. Is not just about, oh, you work for the company and that's it. No, people work for the company, but you also work for those who work in your company. You owe them just as much as you feel they owe you, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in that type of leadership style. I believe in leaders are there to serve those who follow them, just and vice versa. It's a two-way street. You know, I can't expect you to give me your all if I'm not willing to give you my all.
Right. Paying it forward. Wow. Can I be the photographer? No. So where is she at now? Is she still university or is she?
So she's in school for entrepreneurship, which is another reason why yes, I want you on the team because you're going to school for entrepreneurship. And she's almost done with school. And I think this year I want to try to get you to come to Korea either when you're in your summer break and you work here in Korea together on Kimchi Socks and whatnot. And because recently I promoted her to my VP. I said, yeah, you're my second in command. Like, my vision is when I move up, like, you will be in charge of I'm slowly grooming you to, you know, to run all this. So when I move on other things, you will be in charge of Kimchi Socks and not have the other stuff going on. And that is something that I took from the military and how we go about building leaders. That's the most important thing. That's something that I don't really see a lot on the civilian side. They don't understand that just because you are in charge, one day someone has to replace you. And if you're not building up those around you to be your potential replacements, then how can you expect what you built to even last if you're not mentoring and shaping those as working underneath you? And that's very important. That's like a great investment for leaders to do, is to build up their people. Even if I build it to a point where she's better than me, even better.
Right.
Because I'm like, okay, you're staying in the company. And I think I even told her, I said, look, if you ever have a side business you're interested in, let me know. Kimchi Socks can invest in it. And, you know, you can still be the boss of it. But, you know, I'd rather invest in your idea and still keep you part of the company versus leave you 100%.
Yeah. Wow. You know? I am just blown away by that. I think that's like that's one of the coolest things. Jason, when you were starting your company, though, did you have anyone that mentored you or that you looked up to that guided you through kind of the ropes of this, or not really?
They have this one sock company that I follow on Instagram, Sock Club London.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why, they was cool as shit, man. Like, they had this whole Fight Club type thing going on where, you know, first rule.
You and the Fight Club and Mafias.
Hey man, I love it. But like, they took it. They, before they even produced their own sock, they took about a year and a half.
Oh wow! Just
building that community, building that followership. The guy, and I actually probably messaged him. He would take photos of other socks and give like little mini reviews and whatnot. So that's where it really stuck with me about building community and culture. Because when I looked at their brand, they had community and culture. And then once he was ready to actually launch the actual sales part of the business, he offered a exclusive membership where you got this black card, like a black credit card, and you pay like each year an annual fee of like $150. And that gave you like exclusive discounts on their stocks, on their stores. That allowed you to get access to pay for special events. So they created this exclusive premium type brand. And that's essentially what I want to create Kimchi Sock as, is a premium brand. Like, we're not here to please everybody. We're only here to please a certain group and provide few choices, but great impact in what we're delivering. And if you look at premium brands, that's what they deliver. They're not trying to appeal to everybody. They try to keep it. When Steve Jobs was in charge of Apple, that was his idea. You know, just focus on a few items and deliver the best experience and impact to customers where they have no problem in spending this premium dollar for a phone when they know they can get a similar phone for a cheaper amount of money.
Right.
But they're paying to be part of the Apple experience. And that's something that takes time and a lot of people do like in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Apple now is evil, but
Whoa.
I take it back. Apple always does.
I can't say anything, man, because I mean, I got some Apple products, so, you know.
Oh, no, I did too. I had a MacBook. Like, Steve Jobs sold me Kool-Aid great.
Oh, man. How do you build relationships in the U.S. for Kimchi Socks? Like, how did that work? Did you use your market back home? What did you do?
You know what's so cool about Instagram? On Instagram, there's a lot of young people, especially ever, a lot of young people in college who are, like, trying to develop themselves as, like, an influencer. We're doing photos and create content. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, they just, like, they're like, looking for someone to take a chance with them. And mm-hmm. I can understand that. So when people reach out to me, Maddie was the one that reached out to me. She was a little persistent, too, because I kind of ignored the shit out of her at first. I was like, whatever. And then she said, I was like, okay, let me hear what this girl had to say. And then I said, I like what she had to say. And then I said, okay, you know what? You're not in charge of influencers, you know? So she started scrubbing them and scouting them and like, oh, this person's good. No, that person's not good. And then so I started using her expertise. You know, she's like a young person, but she still has, I still feel in that market, she still had more knowledge than I do. So I had no problem. I don't have an ego most of the time. So you can be younger than me. If I feel like you know more than me in the subject, I'm going to depend on your expertise in that subject. I don't care about your age. But she started reaching out, and if I had questions, I asked her, hey, what do you think about this person? And she's like, no, not good. Okay, yeah, that person's good. And so that's how I built my relationship with her, by me putting trust in her decision-making skills without second-guessing her, by just putting trust in her. And then because of that, she felt more comfortable with helping scout and find more people who can help the team. And once again, that's another leadership thing. Another leadership lesson is put trust in your people's decision-making skills without second-guessing them. Because if I was always second-guessing her, then she wouldn't have confidence in doing things for Kimchi Socks, because she would be always worrying about me. Like, are you sure? Like, and then that might have a negative effect on her performance.
Right.
So that's how I built a relationship with her. And then because of that, she brought us more people who has been growing as well within the company, and who's been really appreciating the family atmosphere I've been building within the company.
Mm-hmm. So basically, like, having confidence in what she's doing.
Yeah, and talking to her. And right. Sometimes not always talking about work. Like, so, like, how you doing? How's school coming along?
Right.
Like, what's going on? Like, how's, you know, what's up with personal life, you know? She's like, oh, you know, I broke up my boyfriend. I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, oh, you know, so not always, like I said, trying to keep the family feel with a decentralized team, location independent team, you know, is a good balancing act.
Yeah. What have you learned while producing or making Kimchi Socks? Like, what have you learned? What have been the challenges?
I learned rewards. If you can building. I feel like building relationships is a greater ROI than Facebook ads sometimes. Because if you can make connections with people, they will be able to vouch for you to other people, which then reduces the amount of work it requires you to do to gain people's trust. And so the faster you can gain trust with other people, and not to seem greedy, but the faster it is for you to get the sales from those people.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Right.
Because you know, I can put out a Facebook ad, but I still have to do the work after that. And you still got to do work even though someone's vouching for you. But you don't have to do as much work, because normally the person who's vouching for you already did a lot of the initial groundwork with a gain in trust with those people. So you're leveraging their trust network that they built, so you can get that sale a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Is Kimchi Socks involved in any community-related things, like on a weekly basis, or is it more online?
So right now, we mentioned this year we want to do community stuff, and one thing that keeps coming up, and we don't need it last year, is socks for homeless people. That is one thing, because like our admin Izzy, she was like, hey, are we gonna do some community stuff? I said, I would love to do some community stuff. I would like to do something for the homeless people, but I will also like to sponsor like a a program for young kids in New Orleans, where I'm coming from, young black kids, in particular black males, to learn how to code. I think coding is, the skill of code is the future. I feel like you don't need to go to college for that. I feel like if you can learn how to code in your free time, after school or something like that, you can get jobs that can help make money for yourself. So that's something that I want to try to fund and put together in New Orleans for the community. And I might see about starting at my school. I graduated from in New Orleans, started there first, or maybe in a neighborhood where it's like kids that need something to do after school. But that's something I want to do. And the homeless thing, I think it's pretty easy. It's just a matter of coordinating with people who's going to receive the socks and distribute them out. That one, you know, just get a bunch of socks, just keep people warm, or send it to those people, and they distribute it out. And with that one, we probably do something like Kimchi Care or something like that.
I like that.
have the you know, create like our community outreach type of group, and their job would be to look for homeless shelters that need, like, they need an item. Well, can you provide us socks? Yep, we can come. We can do a sock drive, and our and the Kimchi Care team will be wearing shirts, handing out socks to the homeless. So those are two things in my mind right now, is to give out socks to the homeless and to create a after-school coding program for, you know, black kids in New Orleans. Yeah, because I think the black community in particular is kind of behind regardless of other communities when it comes to learning how to code. Mm-hmm. And it takes people who want to invest in making that and bridging that gap to make it happen.
Right.
I don't believe in depending on a government.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. Wow, that's some strong stuff that you just pulled out there. Jason, what? Okay, we're, you know, ending towards our the interview. I told you I'd try to keep it under so many minutes, but what are some empowering takeaways, or people that are listening to this podcast, what are things that you would advise them, or in general, life nuggets, I call them. Like, what are things that you learned that you would share with other people that are listening?
My tip, I'll give you three. My first tip, ignore any advice from someone who don't even know. Ignore advice from anybody who don't even have their own lives in together. And I say that for this. People who try to control other people are people who don't even have control over their own lives. People who have control over their own lives, who has a clear direction what they want to do with their lives, they're not going to try to control somebody else. Mm. So avoid people who want to try to control you, and they use the phrase, oh, I'm doing this in your best interest. Say bye with that. Unless they are truly giving you advice that's in line with what you believe in, then yes, take it. But if they're giving you advice that's not in line with what you believe in, what you feel is your path, ignore them, point blank and simple. And that leads me to number two. You know, you are the average of the five people you associate yourself with. That is very true. That is something I wish I'd have took seriously when I was a kid. You know, when you say birds of a feather flock together, that is true. If you want to be rich, you hang out with rich people, and then watch how your habits starts to reflect those of the rich people. If you want to go clubbing all the time, hang out with people who club all the time, and watch how your ass will be broke all the time, because all they want to do is club. So find those who are doing what you want to do, or who are thinking like you think, and surround yourself with them, and watch how you will start, you'll start adopting their habits, and then you will start seeing slight changes in your life slowly, and then you start seeing that snowball. So always be conscious of who you hang out with, who you associate yourself with. I don't even listen to rap music that much, unless it's Jay-Z, because lately Jay-Z been dropping some great knowledge bombs. But all that goes into play. I listen to audiobooks most of the time, podcasts, even when I'm working out, when I'm running, I'm in the car. Just like I say, you are what you eat, you are what you listen to as well. So if you're constantly taking in negativity, if you're constantly watching Korean reality TV shows that really bringing value to your life, you are not doing yourself any justice. So you are the average of the five people you hang out with. You're the average of what you consume with reading, audio, or whatsoever. So be very conscious of that. Be the curator of your life, and don't let no one else curate your life. And
ooh. Wait, can you say that again? I need to rewind, hear that again.
What, the last part?
Yeah, you said something about creator of your life or something.
I said, you should be the curator of your life, and don't let nobody else curate your life.
Oh, there we go. Hear that, audience. Hear it well.
And the last one is delayed gratification is a skill worth having,
Oh.
because in this space, it does in entrepreneurship, it does not happen overnight. It's not anybody that tells you can get rich quick, slap them in the mouth. Anyone that tells you that, oh, it takes so long, just for me, for in the military, I didn't come in as a staff sergeant. It took years. It took practice. It took growing. It took sharpening and making a few mistakes before I got to where I'm at. Same in business. It's not gonna happen overnight. It's gonna take time. It takes patience. So with that, find you a mentor. Find you someone who's gonna help you along your path, who can give you advice, who can help you when you fall in low. And that person can help motivate you. That person can give you some perspective, like, hey, look, you're actually doing good. So don't beat yourself up. You're doing good, but just keep doing this and you're good. So those are my three.
I love it. Jason, are you mentoring other people at all? Because I think you definitely should, besides the people in Kimchi Socks.
Know, I do like people like this weekend was busy. I spent the whole weekend in Seoul, meeting with potential partners, and then also kind of mentoring them too, because they was also having some doubts in themselves, and I had to tell them, say, oh, you're doing good, don't doubt yourself, and sharing them. Oh, share. I guess you have mentors. So this weekend I did. Jesus, I met. I have four different one-on-one sessions this weekend.
Wow.
So like I went up to Seoul because like I stay in Seoul. I'm staying in the Pyeongtaek area, but I went up to Seoul and I stayed up there to just like meet, talk business, and also kind of do some mentorship. I don't know. I've been debating on charging. I don't know. I think it's fun, but since like if I do go to Seoul and I'm like just stay the night just to meet everyone I can, at least I can at least cover the travel expenses. But I don't know. We'll see. Lately, I've just been charging people a cup of coffee and buy some socks.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, there you go. That's a great exchange. I like that. Pretty soon you're gonna have everyone wearing your kimchi socks.
Yes.
Or your com the
Kimchi
community,
pot.
the culture.
Kimchi pot empire.
Actually, you thought about doing anything for the Winter Olympics? I mean, that's coming around.
No, it's too late for that. You have to. Reason why, because like I was thinking about doing something for New Orleans. It was like our this year is like the bicentennial, something like that.
Okay.
And when I was researching that, you have to like make a bid to become the official sock seller. You have to like put a proposal in
Wow.
and all that, which is cool, but at the same time,
It's
any
like,
response, forget them.
right, exactly. Just focus on the community culture here.
Yeah.
All right, awesome, Jason. Last thing, where can people find you? Where's your website? Do you have a Facebook page, Instagram, or is that the social media? I can also put this in the show links as well.
Sweet. So you can find Kimchi Socks at www.kimchisocks.com, at Instagram at Kimchi Socks, Twitter Kimchi Socks, Facebook Kimchi Socks, and we have a YouTube. You search Kimchi Socks and the channels will pop up. And I have a personal website, jasonvholmes.com. I gotta probably work on it, but there's links on there too. So.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks so much, Jason. Like I said, I'll put that on the show notes for anyone that are interested in wanting to know more and want to connect with you. But I do appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to your next ventures.
Hey, it was a pleasure meeting you, and hopefully we can do this again. Maybe do like a face-to-face, do like a vlog. I come to your town, you can show me around, we go to a coffee shop.
I like that. We can definitely make that happen. Thanks so much for listening in. If you like what I'm sharing, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. Have someone that inspires you? Want to hear them on the podcast? Go to Facebook page Riza Tante Online and send me a message on whom you're nominating and what makes them influential. We'll see you on the next episode.